Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the 89th Psalm, Psalm 89. And this is a Psalm of David in which he basically was just simply singing praises unto the Lord God of salvation. And I won't be reading the whole Psalm, but I want to just focus in on a few verses surrounding verse 15 concerning this subject, the joyful sound. Over in verse 15 of Psalm 89, it reads, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." And of course, that joyful sound is the gospel. It's the good news that brings God's people joy when the Holy Spirit has prepared them to receive it joyfully. And it's the good news of salvation by the grace of God for sinners who cannot save themselves. That's our plight. Having fallen in Adam and being born dead in trespasses and sins, and having no desire for the salvation that God has provided through His Son, the Holy Spirit has to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We must be born again. The Lord Himself said in John chapter 3, "Else we cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven." But when the Holy Spirit has prepared the people of God to hear the gospel message, the good news, it is truly a joyful sound. But by nature, it's anything but joy. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verses 19 and 18, verses 19 and 20 rather, that the light has come into the world, and that light is Christ, and it's the gospel that reveals Christ in the glory of His person, in the power and the glory of His finished work of righteousness for His people, His blood shed for their sins. And so that light has come into the world. But if left to ourselves, the Scripture says there in John 3:19, but men loved darkness and hated the light because their deeds were evil. And what that's talking about is how the light of the gospel, the light of Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead, the light of His righteousness, which is revealed in the gospel, serves to expose what people by nature, as we're naturally born, love and rest in and admire, and what we think will recommend us unto God. You know, the Bible says that salvation is not by works, but men and women by nature love their works, and they cannot understand how their works cannot be good enough to make them righteous in God's sight and to get them saved or into heaven. But the gospel light, the good news, the joyful sound says otherwise. It excludes everything that we by nature, naturally, think recommends us unto God. Even what we call the good things, people's works and trying to be good. Salvation is by grace. It's a free gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's based totally upon the work of Christ, His merits, His righteousness alone. And our best efforts to keep the law, our best efforts to be good, our best efforts to be moral, to be kind, to be sincere, cannot and will not make us righteous in God's sight. We all sin and come short. We miss the mark. And that's why we need Christ. He is my only righteousness. But that's the joyful sound to those who have been brought by the Holy Spirit to see their sinfulness, their depravity. The Bible says there is joy and peace in believing. Believing what? Believing God's word. It says here back in Psalm 89 and verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light. Now that's the same light that man by nature hates, because it exposes and does away with his false refuge. Think about it this way. Do you have any assurance of salvation? And if you say yes, and most people do, I would ask you now, what is your assurance of salvation based on? What is the ground of your assurance? Now, the only ground of assurance that the Bible tells us in the gospel, that joyful sound, is the grace of God based upon the obedience unto death, the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, nothing added. If your ground of assurance is your profession, some profession that you made back years ago and that you were baptized, if your profession is that you've lived a good life or tried to, if your ground of assurance is your sincerity, I'm here to tell you, it's no good. It's a false refuge. The Bible tells God's people to live life, run the race of grace, walk the walk of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't look to ourselves or anything we've done, or to anything the Holy Spirit's done in us. Because if the Holy Spirit has done a work in us, what will we be doing? We'll be walking. He says they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. They'll walk by God's word. And they'll walk looking to Christ. So that's the issue here in the joyful sound. But look up at verse 13. Let's look at a few verses surrounding that here in this psalm. And remember what David is doing here is he's praising the God of salvation, the God of grace. Now David, King David, he knew that he did not have anything by which he had done to earn or deserve the salvation that God gives, the grace of God. It was all mercy, undeserved. And he says in verse 13, he says, thou hast a mighty arm. Now, that's talking about the power of God. Whenever God doesn't literally have an arm. God is spirit. God is invisible. But whenever the Bible talks about the arm of God, it's talking about His power. God is powerful. In fact, if you read the scriptures, you'll understand that God is what we call omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipotent. That means all powerful. God cannot be defeated. God can do everything that He has promised to do. And the power of God that David, this mighty arm that he's talking about, is salvation by God's grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself, as God manifest in the flesh, God-man, fully God and fully man without sin, He Himself is the power of God. Isaiah asked that question in Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is Christ revealed to? That's what he's asking. God's power to save is in and by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also, or the Gentile, that's what that means. Verse 17 says, for therein, in that gospel, in that joyful sound, you might say, in that good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified, the righteous, shall live by faith. Now, what is the righteous? Who is the righteousness of God? It's Christ. Jeremiah called him the Lord our righteousness. So when he says here in verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, it's talking about God's power to save. He says, strong is thy hand. Again, just elaborating on the power of God. And then he said, and high is thy right hand. That's the hand of justice. That's the hand of justice, the hand of right. It's the hand of fellowship. And what he's saying in those words is that God's justice is satisfied by Christ for his people, Christ as our surety, as our substitute, as our redeemer, and sinners are brought into fellowship with God by Christ, God's right hand. He's seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for his people. Not all without exception, but for his people. And who are they? Well, they are those who have heard the joyful sound. When you hear the gospel, the true gospel, from the Word of God, is it a joy to you? Is it joy and peace in believing? Does it make you happy? Does it give you joy and peace and comfort? Or does it grate against your grain? Does it rub you the wrong way? Does it bring out your dissent and your unbelief, even your hatred? Think about that. If what I'm telling you is the Word of God, and you need to check me out, you need to know that what I'm saying is the Word of God. So go to the Word of God and find out if I'm telling you the truth. If what I'm telling you rubs you the wrong way, then it's not a joyful sound, is it? Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit will prepare you. He'll give you life, show you your sin, show you who God is. That's what he does. He shows us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that God, he is a God of love. You hear a lot about that today, and that's okay if you hear it in the right context. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. And that's all true. But God is also, at the same time, a God of justice, a God of wrath who must punish sin. He's a God who hates those whom sin is imputed to, charged to. The Bible says that. And so the issue of the joyful sound then comes to be, how can God be both a just God, a righteous judge, as well as a Savior, a loving Father? And the next verse, look at verse 14 of Psalm 89. Listen to this. Here's how. Justice and judgment are the habitation or the establishment of thy throne, God's throne. God is a merciful God, but he's not going to show mercy without justice. God is a gracious God, but he's not going to show grace. He's not going to be gracious apart from righteousness. God is a God of love, but his love is consistent with his truth. And his love is in Christ. And it says here in verse 14, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now here are two things that in essence, in the when you consider them as they are truly portrayed in the scripture, they're opposites. Here's a sinner, for example. And that sinner, we fell in Adam. We talked about that. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve. Now, it goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It says through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is eternal life for sinners who deserve and have earned eternal death. How is that possible? Over in the book of Job, this question is posed several times. How can a sinner be justified with God? And how can God be just and save, have mercy, love, be gracious, justify a sinner? Does God pervert his justice and say, well, now, because I'm so loving, I'm just not going to give you what you deserve, and we'll just suspend justice? Is that what God does? And the answer is no, not if you read the Bible. And so there's the question of questions. How can I, a sinner, who deserves nothing but death and eternal perishing, how can I be justified in a holy God's sight, a God who must punish sin? That's the issue. And that's what must be solved. Now, man has no answer for that. There's no religion of man. There's no philosophy of man. There's no political statement or position that man can have that will solve that problem. In fact, the religions of man really don't even consider that issue. It's just that, you know, most people today in what they call Christianity, they say, well, we're sinners, we can't save ourselves, so basically God felt sorry for us and sent His Son to die to make us savable if we would do our part. But the Bible does not teach that. Listen, if the Holy Spirit has prepared you to hear the gospel by showing you your sin, that false message is not going to be a joyful sound to you. It'll be a condemnation is what it'll be, because the Holy Spirit has shown you who you are. Show me who I am. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not even by our will, the Scripture says. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I believe that's Romans 9:16. You see, salvation's of the Lord. And so the joyful sound. So what I'm telling you is that verse 14, David, he talks about the mighty power of God in Christ. And then he says that God's throne, God's sovereign throne in the salvation of his people is established, the habitation of judgment, justice and judgment. And it happens this way, mercy and truth shall go before God's face. Now, God's face is that which identifies and distinguishes him from idols. This is how God reveals himself. And over in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, he revealed himself as a just God and a Savior. How can he be both? How can God show me mercy and still honor his justice? And the answer is the joyful sound. Blessed. Verse 15. Now think about it. Do you know? Do you know that? Do you know the answer? As I said, man's religion, man's philosophies cannot answer that question. There's no religion of man, including false Christianity, that can answer that question. And so he says in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now that joyful sound is the answer to the question, how can a sinner be justified before a holy God? It's found in the answer. How can God be just and honor His justice, His truth, His righteousness, and still be merciful and loving and gracious to sinners? The joyful sound is the answer. And he says, those who know that shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Look at verse 16. It says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. That's the answer. It's in God's righteousness. Now remember what I said about Romans 1, 16 and 17. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And that's the issue. That's the answer. And what is the righteousness of God? It is the entire merit, value, worth, or worthiness of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, substitute, and redeemer of His people. That's it. Christ was made the surety of God's chosen people before the foundation of the world. Their sins, the sins of God's chosen people, were accounted, reckoned, imputed to Christ. He took upon himself before the world began in the covenant of grace to be the surety of all whom the Father had given him. And in doing that, he agreed willingly to the glory of the Father and the salvation of his people to come to earth and take into union with himself a sinless humanity. God in human flesh, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, to obey the law perfectly unto the death of the cross to pay the penalty, the justice of God for their sins. And on that cross, he drank damnation dry. He took the cup of God's wrath upon him, suffered, bled, and died on that cross. And he said, it's finished. What was finished? The law was satisfied. Sins were put away so that God's people are forgiven of all their sins by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? You see, our faith does not put away our sins. Our repentance does not put away our sins. Our confession does not put away our sins. And our baptism in water, the confession, the ordinance, does not put away our sins. It's the blood of Christ alone. Now, how does that affect you? Is that a joyful sound to you? Or is it grating upon your ears? Oh no, preacher's got to be more than that. Got to be something else. You got to be baptized. Listen, the commandment of baptism is not for the washing away of sins. It's for a confession that Christ's blood has already washed away my sins. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, by the blood of Christ. What is it to be justified? It's to be declared righteous in God's sight based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. My sins were accounted to him so that they cannot be laid to my charge. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I cannot be condemned because it's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. That's Romans 8:34. You see, that's what it is to be justified. And so that walking in that truth by God-given faith is what the psalmist here, David, describes in verse 15 as walking, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, his countenance. That the glorious truths that identify him and distinguish him, the glory of God, his countenance. The Bible says that we see the glory of God by the power of the Spirit in the face of Jesus Christ, his person, his work. And so read verse 16 again, in thy name. Do you know his name? I'm not talking about his title. You know, you can know somebody's name and not know them. But here, knowing his name is knowing him by the revelation of the Spirit through Christ, knowing him intimately. And it says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness, God's righteousness, Christ's righteousness imputed, shall they be exalted. That's what lifts me up. That's the joyful sound. That's the answer to the great question of the ages, the riddle of all riddles. How can God be just and save a sinner like me? How can a sinner like me be forgiven and God remain just? Here it is. In his righteousness shall I be exalted, lifted up to God. It's all by grace. It's not by my works. It's not by my decision. Not by my will. Look at verse 17 of Psalm 89. For thou art the glory of their strength. In other words, it's not my own strength, it's his strength, he's my glory, and in thy favor our horn, that's power, shall be exalted. The power that I have is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of Christ by the Holy Spirit and his word. And he says in verse 18, for the Lord is our defense, he's our shield, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. That's Christ. He's our shield. Now think about it. If I stand before God based upon the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, no charge that Satan, no charge that the world, and no charge that I myself in the flesh can bring against me will stick. That's a joyful sound, isn't it? My sins cannot be charged against me in the court of God's justice. Now, I'm not talking about our life here on earth. If I go out and break the law, I'll get charged and go to jail or pay a fine or whatever. But we're talking about a sinner's relationship to God in salvation by grace. Again, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? David wrote in Psalm 32, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Paul wrote about it in Romans 4, 6. He said, "The blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works." And so when Satan charges me, when the world charges me concerning my salvation, not concerning how fast I'm driving. You understand that now. I'm saying that. I'm not being facetious. I mean, if you go out here and break the law of the land, you get fined or you get jailed or whatever. You pay the penalty. That's life here on earth. But when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God, when Satan charges me, when the world charges me, and when I myself in my conscience charge myself, no charge will stick. God says this. Here's a joyful sound. He says, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." What does that mean? That means He will not charge them. He will not bring them up. He will not keep a record of them, so that when I stand before God in the last day at the judgment, I'll stand in Christ having His righteousness charged to me. And God will say, "No charge." That's the joyful sound of the gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. And I hope it's joyful to you. I pray so. If it's not, I pray that the Lord will send His Spirit to show you the truth. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.